I'm going to be on verse 38, chapter 18. Om Parthaya Pratibhotitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kathitam Puranamuna Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanisantadhami Bhagavad-gita Bhagavad-vaishnim. Verse 38. Vishayendriyasam yogat yattad agre mitopanam Pariname Vishamiva Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam Vishya Indriya Samyogat compound. Vishya Indriya Samyogat Agre Amrita Upamam Pariname Visham Iva Tatsukam Rajasam Smritam. So remember, we're dealing now with sukha, the three different kinds of sukha. Last week we did the sattvika sukha. Right? Now it's rajasa. So what he says here is tetsukam rajasam smritam. That sukha is known as rajasic, rajas, born of rajas. Rajasam sukha means born of rajas. Which is vishya indriya samyogat, that sukham is, which is from the samyoga, the contact between the sense object, vishya, and the sense organs, right? So whatever contact that comes between your sense organs and sense objects that creates a sukha, right? That sukha is agre, that type of sukha, agre, in the beginning, right? In the beginning is amrita upamam. It's like nectar. Amrita means nectar, right? So it creates immediately that sukha. It just creates a beautiful happiness. In the beginning. Okay, in the beginning. But pariname, but then as it transforms, it becomes vishamiva, like poison. It starts out as sukha, but then, as time goes on, it transforms into visha. Visha is poison, so vishamiva. So what first is amrita, this beautiful nectar, beautiful ananda, coming from the contact of your sense organs with your sense objects, that then will transform itself into poison, into something which is vishamiva, like poison. And that's what we call rajasa sukha. Sukha that starts out with pleasure and then ends up in poison. There's different ways. I'm going to do it a couple of different ways, but there's something that in Swamiji's commentary, he quotes something that Shankara says here. Mm-hmm. And what Shankara says is that why does it turn into poison? You know? He says, well, he gives a whole list of things. First of all, bala. Your strength, you know, your health, your good health is all your strength. Virya is the strength of your, bala is like your health, strength in terms of your health. Virya is your strength in terms of your sense organs and your organs of action, just your physical strength, that your sense organs are working properly, that you can walk well, that you can talk well, that you can grasp. That your bodily functions are working well. So that's virya, your strength in terms of your sense organs and your karmendras, your organs of action. Then also your rupa. Rupa is your beauty. beauty itself, if you have a beautiful or an attractive upadi, means body, say you're a very handsome or a very beautiful person, that beauty also will bring a lot of admiration. So just by your upadi alone, you have a beautiful, or like you're a young person, you're strong, you have certain tejas, you're attractive, that attractiveness brings a lot of admiration and a lot of attention, you know? And so people who, and I know this actually from being a therapist, and people who actually, when they're young, have an exalted upadi, where they're very, very handsome, you know, very good looking, or very beautiful, like a very beautiful woman, they can go through a lot of problems as they start to age, right? Because the beauty, or that being so handsome, goes away, you know? Like one good, very good friend of mine, you know, he was a very good looking guy. And when he got into his, I knew him for many years. I knew him from when he was like in his 20s, 30s, 40s. And one time we were talking, he was moving into his 50s at that time. And he said, but he had knowledge and he had some maturity, so he could laugh about this. He could laugh about it, and he did laugh about it. But he said, you know, it's so funny, when I walk down the street now, none of the girls pay any attention to me. None of them even look at me. You know, that never used to be the case, you know. They all used to be, you know, gathering around. Now nobody gathers around.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Rupa, you know. But you can become, depending on what you've got going inside, you can become addicted to that attention. And then if you depend upon that attention, when you start to age, you know, and you're no longer a young person with this level of physical beauty, I think people, as they become older, they become very, very beautiful because of their soul. You know? And like Swamiji would say, don't try to get rid of your wrinkles. Wear your wrinkles. Wear your wrinkles. They're your character, you know. But that's only if you feel beautiful inside. But if that hasn't been developed, then as you watch your body disintegrate, you're becoming all old and wrinkly, you know. Then you feel like you're losing something. And it can be extremely traumatic, you know? Because you're not able to live off of your looks. The people who are just in the middling range, they're not homely and they're not extremely beautiful, those people don't have this problem. The people that are more beautiful in terms of whatever society is deeming as beautiful, you know, in terms of handsome and in terms of, you know, for male and female, those people can have a lot of trouble when they age because their beauty attracts so much attention. I even noticed it once with my little nephew when he was about 9 or 10 or 11, just his young boy. He was so cute, you know, by kind of popular standards. He was so cute. And so I would notice that all of the friends, he had so many friends, they were all circling around him. He was a cute little boy. He was a nice boy also. But it was more than that. He was a cute little boy. And so, good-looking little boy. And so this good-looking little boy attracted so much attention just because really of his looks. And then he was a nice boy. And so he could hold that attention also because of his niceness. But he didn't need to be nice because he was good looking. You know? He was nice. But he didn't need to be nice to attract all of that attention, you know? And so that's what we mean when Rupa, when you say Rupa, Rupa usually just means form, like Nama Rupa. But Rupa also means beauty. So here, what is being said, and this is a kind of a famous quote, it's as a person ages, they lose their strength, they lose their health, they lose the tejas of their sense organs, the ability of their sense organs, they lose their beauty, if you're looking at beauty in just physical terms, you know? And so this rupa is something that you lose. Bhagavan made it this way. You lose that youthful beauty as you become old. And what you gain is that kind of a spiritual beauty of your soul, you know, which is actually much more beautiful. But if that's not happening, then all you have is a degradation of your physical form without the maturity of your soul. Because actually your soul, your being, you know, if you're cultivating your values, if you're cultivating your values, you shine the nature of the Atma, the nature of yourself, shines more and more and more and more. And nobody will look at you and think that you're old or young. That criterion is just out the window completely. They see somebody who cares about them. That's what it is. Like with Swamiji, it's not... He could be 150. We'd all be happy. Well, thank God he's 150 now, if he could just live another couple of years. You know? It's not about anything to do. And for him, of course, that has nothing to do with whether he can walk, which he can't walk anymore, whether he can see, he can barely see anymore, whether he can hear. We have to talk into a microphone, you know, because otherwise he can barely hear what anybody's saying. You know? But nobody cares. Mm-hmm. All we want is for him to be there for as long as he possibly can, because he loves us. That's why. He loves us. You know? We get to feel loved in his presence. That we're important. Each person feels that they matter, that they're important, you know? That they're wanted, that they're cared for, that they're loved. You know? And that's that soul. You know? That's the beauty. You know, that's the beauty. And that's what we continue for. We're mamukshas. We're jnanis. The whole life is only about maturing into that beauty, so that your body, mind, sense organs are enlivened by the beauty of your being, and not your mind, your mind and body are not in conflict with the beauty of your being, you know? And so, if this beauty is something which is dependent on something out here, it's going to wither, like everything out here does. Everything in Ishwara Srishti, means this world, this sensory world that we experience, withers. Every living thing, right? It goes through these sixfold modifications. They're called the Shadbhava Vikaras. Vikaras means modification. Shadbhava means the six modifications of living things. Shadbhava Vikaras. The first thing is Jayate, it's born. A living thing is born. Now it is. It's been born, now here it is. Right? Then this living being, Vardhate, it grows. Starts to grow. And then it reaches puberty, and the Parinamate, it goes through puberty, it transforms. Okay? And then it starts to become old. Over time, it starts to become old. You know? And then it dies. It decays and then it dies. Even a beautiful piece of fruit is like that. It's born, it matures, it decays, and it dies. That's what this upadhi does. And so say our whole life is only about this upadhi, this body, mind, sense organs, and feeding it and having a good time with it and having it cared for and worshipped and loved and by others. Like say say what I expect all of you to really love me and enjoy me because I'm so beautiful. Why not even, you don't think these thoughts aren't there. For a beautiful person, especially a young person who starts to grow old, they realize that they're living off their beauty, and they worry about it. Men also. They realize they're living off their beauty and they worry about it. Either they mature and start to grow inside so that becomes a non-issue. But people are not stupid. They know all of these things. You know? It can be not primary for you, or it can be primary. But if it's primary for you, you'll really have a hard time. Because Bhagavan is not going to, you know, and Bhagavan's not going to tell you that you're not gonna get old. Everybody else can get old, but you don't have to. That's not how it is. Okay, so now, next one. Prajna. Prajna means your knowledge of viveka. Prajna means clarity of thought, your viveka. Viveka is hard to have between dharma and adharma. It's very hard to have when your needs are very extrovert. Not going to happen. Because if I need this, and I need this, and I need that, this, viveka gets pushed to the side. Because viveka, prajna, discriminative knowledge, is not useful. It's not useful. It gets in my way. If I have discriminative knowledge, dharma, adharma, as strong, then, you know, my sense pursuits are tempered by dharma, adharma. But if all I have are my sense pursuits, then dharma and dharma, adharma become obstructions to me. So that prajna becomes weakened. Medha, if prajna is not functioning, medha becomes weakened. Medha is your memory capacity, you know. Your ability to act off of what you know, that also becomes weakened. And he says, as I become old, also my dhanam goes. My wealth goes. Because you're spending all of your wealth on your sensory perceptions and on your sense objects. You're spending your wealth on your sense objects. And now you're not earning. So Swamiji used to always make a joke about retired people. Once you stop earning, you know, then all you think about is the amount of money you have in the bank. Right? And you're not putting any more in the bank. Right? And so you're going to be having to try to live off the interest, or what if you don't have interest? You know? And so now, the money that you used to spend freely now has to be spent carefully. And so you feel a limitation financially. Dhanam, he says. These are ancient quotes, by the way, so it's kind of funny. Then utsaha. Also what starts to wane is your enthusiasm. You find that in the pursuit of your sensory pleasures, one time you'll get a great joy out of something that you really wanted. The first time you got a great joy out of it. The second time it doesn't give you so much. And so then you start losing your enthusiasm toward your sense objects. And so he says, because of this, he says, hani hetu twat, because of this decline that is going to happen, that naturally happens, you know, all of this world that I had counted on to make me, to give me sukha, begins to become like poison. It begins to give me a great deal of pain because this body-mind-sense organs complex, this whole upadhi, which is now in its twilight years, right, in the twilight years, is not able to attract that type of sukha. And so now here I am as a withered person who can't function well in the world. and get the happiness out of the world that I used to be able to get. First of all, I can't see, I can't hear, I can't walk by myself, you know. I'm not attracted to look at, you know. I'm just an old, withered person, and nobody wants me. So that's the Visha. That's what happens. That's what happens if your life has been just oriented toward this. That's a natural conclusion of it. It's a natural conclusion. Retirement would be hell, because what Fongji writes about this in his commentary, what would you do? You're retired. Now what are you going to do? I have nothing to do. There's nobody comes over. I'm just here by myself. Yeah. I have my grandparents who actually were kind of very Sattvic people. They enjoyed reading and studying and working in their gardens. They were okay. But you know what? They were the last one, and they were social. They were very social people. But they were also intellectual or whatever. Could handle themselves well. And they had many, many friends. They were the last ones alive of their friends. The last ones alive. They visited all of their friends through their rest home stay and their death, and went to every one of their funerals. And still, they were the last ones living. Then my grandfather died, and then it was just my grandmother by herself. She had a big family, so the family would come and took care of her, but she was by herself. Her whole social world, she was the most social person. That whole social world died off, leaving her as the last lady standing. You can imagine. So what's the last lady standing going to do? You don't know anybody. You have no social world anymore. Well, what do you do? You know, so either you don't need anybody because of your own fullness, you know, or you're sitting there wondering, what am I going to do? Year after year after year. Or you sit in a rest home. And what am I going to do year after year after year? Right? Because there's been no fostering of your own being, really. The being that really doesn't need this body in the first place. Your ananda, in truth, your mind doesn't need this. Yourself certainly doesn't need it. You know? And so when that's the case, you're old and decrepit and can't do anything, and everybody loves to be with you because you love them and you're fine. It's such a simple thing. But it's only simple if you've fostered that truth. If you haven't fostered that truth, then you're withering and fading out in a creation, you know, that is going on living. And you don't have the sense organs or anything else to keep participating in it. So it's interesting, this is how Shankara deals with this verse. There's another way to deal with the verse, that every moment, day to day to day, we find that our desires give us, when they're fulfilled, give us a moment of happiness, and that happiness drips off. We find that over and over and over and over and over again. We also find that our desires for sense objects, gratification, when it's not fulfilled, it creates pain. This is the samsara that we experience every day of our life, actually. We don't have to grow old to experience the dukkha, the visha, the poison of sensory enjoyment. It's not a visha at all if I don't need it. That's vairagya. If I have vairagya, I can enjoy it when it's here, and I can be fine when it's not here. Then there's no problem. But then, the vairagya is not this. This is not vairagya, you know. Like, you can't get near me, I don't want any of you, I don't want anything, because if I want it, it's going to turn to poison, I can't have it near me. That's not vairagya. Vairagya is, I can be happy with it when it's here, and I can be happy when it's gone. If there's something that I don't like comes my way, it's okay. If something that I love leaves, it's okay. That's vairagya. What it means is that my ananda is not centered on it. And so if my ananda is not centered on the experiences that I'm having, but is centered on the atma, then I can enjoy what's here and I can let it go also. That's freedom, right? But if I can't do that, if I'm not able to do that, then I suffer. It's as simple. And I will suffer to the degree that I've projected my ananda or projected love onto the world, rather than my mind enjoying that stable self and then from that position, loving what is here. But if I'm loving what is here, and that love is based, is the love that's filling my mind that allows me to love what is here comes from the changeless self, then you can be as you are. You're free to be as you are because the source of the love is not you. The source of the love is the self, right? And then that allows me to love you as you are. If you are the source of my experience of love, that's that sensory contact, you are the source of my experience of love, then don't think you can be as you are. You can't be. You need to be how I need you to be. That's the tricky thing. We love somebody, but we've fallen in love with the person who behaves in a certain way that makes me feel loved. But all these people and all these situations are very multidimensional, and sometimes they're cranky and crabby and mean. You know? So then what happens? The cranky, crabby, mean person, you know, rises up, and then this person that's supposed to be making you happy is making you miserable. So these relationships also create, they're your sadhana. We're learning how to love somebody when they're not necessarily being your little puppet, being your appendage. You're not being my appendage. You know? I need you to be my appendage. You must do what I think that you're supposed to do. And so it's, Bhagavan created this life for you, for all of us, to make us own up ourselves, because it's impossible. The demands we put on the world are impossible, you know. And in fact, the really incredible thing is every demand you put on the world is impossible. Every demand you put on yourself is impossible. In the end, because it's not, as long as it's a demand, it's going to change on you, right? So in the end, it's not about demand, it's about, you know, it's about, it's okay, you can be with me. You can be with me as you are. And then let me do what is my dharma in that situation. That's what works. Even according to your mind, when your mind is being awful and acting up, it's okay, you can be with me. But that doesn't mean acting out and hating people because your mind is being miserable. It's okay, you can be with me. Safe haven. Your being is the safe haven. Atman is the safe haven. Ishwara is the safe haven when you're living in Ishwara Srishti. When you are living in Jiva Srishti and trying to make Ishwara Srishti go along with you, right, then you're in big, big trouble. And you can be so mad at Bhagavan because Bhagavan is not matching my Jiva Srishti. So you're very confused then. What you think you're Bhagavan, and Bhagavan is the Jiva. Right? Bhagavan is the Jiva. He's not going along with me. I am the Bhagavan, this is the Jiva. No. This is the Jiva. And this is Bhagavan. The Jiva is the one that has to surrender to Bhagavan, not the other way around. But these things are all fun to realize. Because once you understand these things on the level that matters, life becomes very, very easy. Guru Swamiji says, You know, your heart has to become as big as Bhagawan. If you, this was so worth contemplating on. Your heart has to become as big as Bhagawan. And what's kind of a simple way to understand that is already toward your body, you know, your heart is probably close to as big as Bhagawan. Like, just imagine, have you ever gotten a little hangnail or something? You have to take care of that and it's hurting your little finger. You know? And then you have a little toothache. Toothache needs to be taken care of, you know. Needs to be taken. It's causing a lot of pain and we need to take care of that toothache. And this and that is happening. These things need to be taken care of. And I hurt my knee. The knee needs to be taken care of, you know. And the body has to be exercised. I need to have the proper food. All of these things. Whole upadhi, you know, needs to be handled, taken care of, made happy, make sure that it gets enough rest. I do very well, really, you know, in accommodating this body and trying to give it what it needs, you know. But for Bhagawan, this is my body. This whole thing is me. It's my body. And I'm not identified with one part instead of another. Like, say, okay, this is my body right here, okay? But I'm only my knee. This is my body, but I'm only my nose. And no, that's not going to happen. You're the whole thing, right? You're every part of it. And not one part is more important than the other. They're all important. The whole thing. You don't want to give up your finger. You don't want to give up your toe. Right? You don't want to give up your earlobe. No, I want everything. And I want everything to be healthy and fine and working well. You know? I don't want to lose my eyebrows. I don't want to lose my hair. Nothing. And I want all the organs to work and to be vibrant and healthy. I want my blood chemistry to be right. Everything should be perfect. So let me take care of the whole thing. But I'm not identified with one given part. The whole thing is me. So think about that in the whole creation. The whole thing is you. Not your body is part of this whole thing. But the whole thing is you. Every part of it. Every being. All of the grass. All of the animals. All of the animals. All the bacteria. The whole thing. The entire thing is your being and you are free from it. It's the same thing with this body. This is your being, and you are free from it. This is your mind, and you are free from it. That's the truth, right? That's what you start to realize. I am this body, and I am free from this body. I am this mind, I am free from this mind. I am this universe, and I am free from this universe. For Ishwar, no problem. For Ishwar, I am this universe, I'm free of this universe. I'm not identified with any given thing within it. The whole thing is myself. And I'm free of the whole thing. And I'm not projecting onto any part of it to make me happy. If there's nothing that you're not, we're not projecting onto a part of it. Say, let me have this part and not this part. Let me have all of the whole universe. These things will make me happy and these things won't. In this body, this hand makes me happy, this doesn't. This knee makes me happy, this foot doesn't. I didn't think like that. So, to the degree that any part of this creation is my source of happiness, that part turns into poison. Because it can't last. I have to be my own source of ananda and then let the universe be. Let me be present to the universe. You know? Let me be welcoming to the universe. Let me be helpful. And that's what it is. If it's a rajasa sukham, then it's problematic. But not as problematic as the tamasa sukha. Oh, but you'll see next week. Swastik Pajabhyah Padipalyantam Nyayena Margena Mahim Mahishaha Gobrahmanebhyah Shubhamastu Nityam Loka Samastha Sukhino Bhavantu Kale Varshatu Parajanyah Prithivi Sasya Shalini Desho Yamcho Varahitah Brahmana Santu Nirbhayah Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah Sarve Santu Niramayah Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu Ma Kaschit Dukkha Bhak Bhavet Asato Ma Sadgamaya Tamaso Ma Jyotirgamaya Mrityorma Amritangamaya Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri